kind of ironic that nutrition is still considered kind of a, you know, an aspect of integrative medicine and not, you know, the basis of medicine, which it really is kind of the basis of health. But I really feel called to nutrition. It's something I realized I have a lot of passion for. I started reading about it and cooking, and it was fun for me. I didn't have to, you know, force myself to sit down and read about it, and that's kind of where I saw myself going, because I have that, you know, interest and love for it. So it's something I wanted to develop into part of my future career, and I'm also very interested in the medical education aspect of it and fitting more nutrition into medical schools, especially at the beginning, so that medical students have a more of a basis to advise their patients and also to live their own lives by too. So that's where I am right now. I extended in order to do some nutrition research back at UMass, and it was really wonderful. It's still an ongoing project. Michael Pollan was a big part of my my inspiration, actually, because he writes so beautifully. And my mom actually encouraged me to get a little bit more information about nutrition. She was always very nutrition-minded growing up. But, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s when, you know, the fat is bad craze was happening, you know, it's interesting to see where our society goes based on what our best nutritional knowledge is at the time. So I've become really interested in the history of nutritional philosophy, and then I connected with a nutritionist at UMass, and that's where our research got started. So it's been a very gradual process, and so it's something that I've realized is important to keep in mind when dealing with patients, is that, you know, it took me this long to think of nutrition as important, think of food and cooking as important. So it's something that has to be done very gradually with patients and people that you're trying to help. Part of the reason I came out, or my husband and I decided to come out to the Pacific Northwest, was actually the strong family medicine programs. And a lot of the programs themselves have a little bit more of an emphasis on integrative medicine and nutrition, and a lot of emphasis on elective time for the residents. So what I want to do with that elective time is set up group visits for my patients, similar to what I'm doing in my research now. And so I'll be able to, you know, spend a little bit more time than the typical 15-minute visit, which is really not enough. So in medical school, I didn't have too many opportunities to really delve, you know, deep into cooking and food and nutrition with patients on my rotation. In terms of my research, I got a lot of great experiences with patients. We actually, our research is based on the anti-inflammatory diet, and we are applying it for patients with Crohn's disease. So we had about 20 Crohn's patients, and we took them through a full, you know, dietary intervention with cooking classes. So I got to, you know, lead cooking classes and work with the participants directly. And it was really amazing. I think cooking classes are really powerful teaching tool. Not necessarily either in like a hierarchical way, but the patients end up teaching each other. And so it's a wonderful support group and a community in and of itself, which I think makes dietary change much easier. It's a really wonderful patient population to work with. And especially the patients that we were getting, with Crohn's disease, they had been through every treatment. Many of them had had surgeries and had failed a lot of medications, and so they were kind of at the end of their rope in terms of their Crohn's. And so just little tips of, you know, how to make things easier in your day-to-day life. One patient brought in, there's a bathroom pass that's developed by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. that allows you to pull it out, and by law, anywhere that you are, say in a restaurant or, you know, a store that only has a bathroom for employees, if you pull out this card, they're required by law to let you use it. So it just, it was something that was really wonderful for all the patients, because, you know, the stress of being out in public and not being able to find a bathroom is really hard. And so having that freedom a little bit more, you know, it doesn't make it perfect, but allows them to, you know, go out more freely. And then just tips about what foods work, what foods don't. If you're in a flare, you know, try this instead of this, which our doctors always tell us to eat. So it was great, because we kind of turned in to, you know, participants among them all. All of us were teachers, instead of I was the teacher and they were the learners. So I loved that. My goal right now is to keep working on the research. Since I'm out in Seattle, I'm working on the writing of the papers and trying to get something that we can get out there and get published. Our goal mm-hmm. with this research is a small pilot study, kind of trying to break into this whole nutrition and cooking realm in research. And it's starting to be done already, but our goal is to get our results out there to see if we can pull more funding into studies like this. So that's my goal, is to get some results and get our results out there. And then for beyond, you know, it's something that's still a little bit flexible in my mind. I would, you know, at this point, I would love to be involved in some type of open-minded integrative group practice. I'm going into family medicine. I would love to work with other physicians who keep an open mind about stuff like this, and, you know, we'll work hard to put resources towards stuff like a teaching kitchen, so that we can have group classes as part of our practice. What I've realized with my own journey, learning about food and nutrition and patients' journey, is that in our society, we're largely not taught how to cook anymore. And I think a big part of our difficulty with nutrition is that people have this fear of the kitchen, and this fear of making things from scratch, or, you know, buying vegetables. What do I do with the vegetables? And so just kind of breaking that fear a little bit, teaching them how to make one dish, so that they can get really good at that one dish, and that will kind of bring up their confidence a little bit and encourage them to keep going and learn more recipes. And I think that can really help a lot of people that are struggling with that. Another part relates to that a little bit in terms of medical education and trying to, you know, get nutrition and cooking skills into medical education the first year. There have been studies showing that if you, you know, start healthy habits early on in your medical training, then it's more likely to stick. You're more likely to model them for your patients and be a successful physician in that way. So that's another project I'm potentially trying to make happen before I graduate, is to institute some type of cooking class for the first year medical students. So, you know, the nutrition training is pretty minimal in most medical schools these days. And it's, at least for us, it was mainly focused on all the vitamins and what they do and deficiencies and overdoses. And nutrition is obviously so much more than that. So that's another one of my ultimate dream goals, is to get nutrition a bigger role in medical education. And so we'll see where that goes too.
Inside Stories is an oral narratives project that catalogs the stories of medical students during their journeys through medical school. The podcast is hosted on In Training, the online magazine for medical students. Visit us at in-training.org/inside-stories. Inside Stories is a founding member of Vocalis, the podcast network for medical students. please listen to our partner podcasts at vocalisnetwork.wix.com/listen.